Good morning and happy Sabbath. We hope that you are connected, that you are watching, and you are comfortable. The Lord has a message for each and every one of us today, and we will pray and ask God's Spirit to be here to minister to us, to speak to us what we need to hear the most during this crucial time. As I said in the previous presentation, that the landscape of the world has changed. We are in another world. This does not seem like the world we were in just a week ago. But God still has wisdom for us. God still has comfort and direction and guidance during these times. I want to share a story with you, then we'll jump into a time of prayer and get started with the presentation. Very familiar story. Story took place in India. It's the story of a circus that would go throughout various parts of India. And as the circus would travel to different parts of the subcontinent, lots of people would come out. More and more, this circus gained a great following because of the features that were at the circus. They would have jugglers. They would have acrobats. They would have clowns. But the main attraction was when a gigantic cage was rolled into the center. And in this cage were two ferocious tigers. And as these tigers would prowl from one side of the cage to the other side of the cage, the people in the audience would gasp, wondering what would take place. Soon the spotlight would shine off in the corner, and a handsome tiger tamer would enter into the cage. He had a whip in his hand, and he began to cry out the words, "Kumba! Kumba!" And as he cried out the words, the tigers began to back away until they jumped onto two pedestals, and everyone would cheer at the tiger tamer. Well, one fateful day, while this show was taking place, the unexpected happened, something like we experienced a little bit ago. The power went out. The light shut down, and everyone began to cry out in fear. The tiger tamer was locked in the cage. Soon they begin to hear the tigers go from one side of the cage to the other, growling. And people begin to wonder what would happen to this tiger tamer. When, after a few minutes, the buzzing came on, the lights came on, and sure enough, the tiger tamer was in the middle of the cage, and the two tigers backed away. He got out of the cage and people talked to him and they said, "How'd you do it? How'd you survive during this ordeal?" And he said these words, which are important words for us. "The words that I spoke in the light, I held on to in the darkness." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for this morning's message. God, we pray and ask that through this dark time, that your word would shine bright in our hearts. For this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Timothy. The book of Timothy. The Bible tells us these incredible words found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, you might have seen this on Facebook. You might have a placard in your house. You might have seen this on some kind of church wall. And these very familiar words that are spoken by Paul are right here. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." Now, this is incredible. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. If you had somebody who was overweight telling you how to lose weight, would you listen? If you had somebody who was very poor telling you how to make money, would you listen? If you had somebody that was failing in school telling you how to get good grades, would you listen? And the answer is, of course not. But here's the thing to understand about Paul. The reason why Timothy, young Timothy, could believe these words is because he knew who they were coming from. You see, Paul was a man who lived through great crisis. Paul was a man who went through dangers. Paul was stoned multiple times. Paul was shipwrecked multiple times. Paul was whipped multiple times. Paul preached the gospel in the most dangerous types of situations and environments. And that's why when he told Timothy, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind," Timothy could believe it because he knew who it was coming from. Today we're going to be looking at an incredible story. The story of a man named Paul, a man who was courageous during times of crisis. And we are living in a time of crisis right now. We're going to be looking at one particular story in the life of Paul found in the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 27. The book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts 27. The Bible gives these incredible words. The context describes Paul. He was now chained. Paul, who is now a prisoner, he is making his way to Caesar. He has appealed to the highest authority in Rome so that he may preach the gospel. And by virtue of being a Roman citizen, he has this right. There was a centurion who was assigned to Paul, who had to take Paul through the various lands and countries all the way back to Rome. One particular part of this voyage is mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts, chapter 27. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So they entered a ship. The Bible tells us that Paul was on many different shipwrecks. Paul, who had been on many different boats, Paul, who had taken various voyages. The scriptures mention this particular voyage because of what took place here. There's a lesson for us to understand in times of crisis. A lesson for us to understand when we need courage and hope in times of darkness. Notice what the Bible tells us. The scripture says these words. Verse 7. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty, Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Salami. Passing it with great difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lasia. The Bible tells us that Paul, on this journey, began to take place. And it's incredible. Paul warned the sailors. He said, look, I'm not sure if we should sail out from this port because it's going to get very dangerous. This was during the time of fall. This was a time when there were great windstorms, when there was great danger for a ship to be able to sail. But given the ambition of the crewmen, they decided to ignore Paul's voice and they decided that they were going to still sail this ship. The Bible tells us there was about 200 plus people. And as they begin to sail this ship, great winds begin to stir up. Waves begin to crash upon the boat. Now, I don't know about you. If you've ever been on a boat during a time of storms, it can be a very scary experience, an intense experience. The ocean, if you're in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of a storm, it can really humble the pride and the strength of mankind. The ocean is just this amazing element in our world today. And it's incredible. So here's Paul in the middle of a ship with pagans all on the ship. And as they're sailing across the sea, storms are just raging against this boat. Waves are crashing into this boat. And it looks like the ship is doomed. In fact, the Bible tells us in that same chapter, what the sailors did is they threw down some rope, put it underneath the boat. They girded the ship with the hope that the ship would be more supported during that time of storms. Scripture then tells us that for many days, they saw neither sunlight nor stars. There was no light for them, no ability for them to navigate. They were a ship in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the storm, and it seemed like they were lost. In fact, notice what the Bible says right here in verse 19. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we'd be saved was finally given up. You ever feel like you're hopeless sometimes? You ever feel like when it rains, it really pours? Where all the dreams and ambitions you might have had come crashing down? When it seems like everything around you is on fire and there is no hope for you getting out of that situation? The Bible tells us some incredible things that took place. At a moment of greatest darkness, light began to shine on that ship. Notice what the Bible says Paul did next. Verse 21. But after a long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, to whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.'" Now, this is incredible. Paul begins to offer words of courage. Paul begins to offer words of hope. And it's incredible what you find in the speech that Paul gave. We're not simply just flowery words or just made up words or words just designed to give someone some kind of earthly comfort. The words that Paul was speaking were words that God gave to him. Paul could speak with assurance and hope during this crisis. Paul could speak with courage when it looked like the ship was about to go down into that ocean, because God had given him encouragement. I remember last year we had our Teen Bible Academy program. And the first part of our Teen Bible Academy program, we're out in the wilderness. And we were in an area that I was fairly unfamiliar with. I had been there only once before. We have about 36 kids. We're camping out for a week out there, away from civilization. And we have about 13, 14 staff there. Well, here's what happened during one of the nights. During one of the days, all the water filters broke except for one. One water filter did not break. And you need the water filter because you shouldn't be drinking lake water without the filter. You could get sick. However, some of the kids in the program decided that they were going to go ahead and drink the water without the use of the filter. And sure enough, they got sick. And this was during a time where some of the staff were getting sick because that last water filter was not working properly. So that night, I remember I was sitting on the log and somebody comes racing up to me and they said, "Pastor Nell, we have two more kids that are sick." And as I was about to give instructions about what to do, another staff came running to me and they said, "Pastor Nell, one of our staff, he's throwing up in the tent." And as I was about to say what to do then, somebody came running to me and said, "That last filter is going out." And it was one bad news after the other. And I remember the time was about 11:30 p.m. I was sitting on that log and it was just this moment where it seemed like everything was closing in. You ever have moments like that when it seems like when it rains, it pours, and it seems you're getting pressure from all sides? There's nowhere to turn. But in that moment where it seemed like I was being overwhelmed, God gave me courage and hope. I began to immediately give instructions about what to do. I hiked out that night with one of my friends. We got over 100 gallons of water bottle, brought it back up, and it was such a powerful moment. It was a moment of darkness. But in that moment of darkness, God's word shone the brightest. Can you say amen to that? Paul, in this moment of what could have been a great tragedy for those 200 plus people on that ship, Paul, who entered into that ship as a prisoner with chains, became the captain of that ship. In fact, you don't even read about the captain saying anything during this entire voyage. The one who is speaking the most in this voyage, at least what's recorded, is Paul. This is powerful when you begin to recognize what happened. Paul went into the ship with chains, but because of the grace of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, now Paul was the one meting out instructions to the sailors, to the centurions, to the soldiers, to the other prisoners, to the other crewmen, to the other voyagers. Paul was the man in chains that he was the one telling people what to do. Why? Because God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He had courage and hope during this time of darkness. And incredible, when you're studying out some of the public health models about this corona pandemic, Some of these health models don't give a very nice future, at least for the next few weeks. And as we enter into the acceleration phase of this disease, some of the projections out there are pretty scary and fairly alarming. And all you need to do is just look on the news. But even in spite of these times, God calls his people to have courage and hope and faith. Why is that? I love what Ellen White says right here. She gives some powerful words. Notice this. It is our privilege to draw nigh to God, to breathe in the atmosphere of his presence. Notice that phrase. To breathe in the atmosphere of his presence. Nothing short of abiding in the presence of Christ will bring peace, freedom, courage, and power. The reason why Paul had peace and courage during that very scary voyage is because he was next to the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen to that? This was powerful. I want you just to imagine yourself on that ship. Imagine seeing these sailors who are worn out, seeing where people are just hungry. They're not even eating. They're trying to save the ship. The storm is just crashing in. The night is there. It is cloudy. You haven't seen sun or star for days. Even the most seasoned one of these sailors are giving up in desperation. You ever have one of those friends? I think we all have friends like this. Whenever you're with a group of friends, something bad happens, they usually mutter something like this. We're all gonna die. You ever have friends like that where just when like some bad news comes their way, they're the first ones to exclaim, look, this ship is going down. And I'm sure with the 200 plus people like that, there were lots of people not just discouraged, but doubtful they would come out of that situation. But Paul, the man who had hope in Christ, the man who abided in Christ, gained words of encouragement. And to those sailors who would discourage, and to the crewmen, and to all the people, Paul began to speak words that were needed. Some of you might be familiar with a man by the name of Charles Wesley. He's actually was one of the leaders of the Methodist Church. He was a poet, hymn writer, an incredible reformer along with his brother, John Wesley. But when you actually read about Charles Wesley and why he gave his heart to Christ, it's an incredible story. There are various stories that are mentioned, experiences that he encountered. But one in particular I think is quite relevant. He said during the 1700s he was sailing. He was in a ship with lots of people. And a great storm began to beat upon the ship. And people were crying out because they thought they were going to perish in the middle of an ocean. It's kind of visceral, this idea of just dying in the middle of this boundless ocean with nobody there. And while this storm was beating upon this ship, Charles Wesley records there was a group of people on the ship. Moravians. Moravians were German Christians. And he said that these Moravians, during this time of great fear, during this time of great darkness, were singing. And he said that during this time that they were singing, he could look on their faces and he would see peace. And it began to really sink into his heart that these people worshiped a wonderful God. And it was one of the experiences that he actually tied in to his conversion when he saw the faith, hope, and courage of these people in the middle of a great storm. And sure enough, in this story, out of all the shipwrecks that Paul could have recorded, or wanted recorded out of all the things, this one is recorded because it gives us lessons of hope and encouragement about what to do. After those sailors heard the words of Paul, they gained courage. And they decided we're not going to go out with the fight. And so they begin to do all they can to keep that ship afloat. And as they were heading towards a certain direction, the Bible actually tells us that they begin to take measurements. Some of these sailors, realizing that they were getting close to some kind of bay, decide to do some measurements, and they realize that the fathoms, when they were testing out, okay, are we getting closer, were getting smaller and smaller, realizing that they were getting closer to the seafloor. They decided to secretly start lowering down the skiff, a rowboat, kind of an emergency raft for those times, right? But it wasn't blow up, it was made out of wood. They were going to jump into this and separate themselves from the crew and get to the bay. Paul, as a man who was aware of what was going on, went to the centurion and tells him, these men, if they get into this skiff, we cannot be saved. Paul recognized, without all hands on deck, we were not going to be saved. But these men, they decided they were going to try to save themselves. And they were willing to sacrifice everybody on ship just to protect themselves. And you know what the centurion did? He grabbed some of the soldiers. They came to where the boat was, cut the rope. The boat fell into that little, their emergency boat fell into the water and was taken away by the waves. And these people began to believe the words of Paul. And they decided, okay, here we are. We're on this boat. We're stuck on this boat. We've got to trust the words that Paul is saying to us. They began to take this ship a little bit further. And then notice what the Bible says next. This is incredible. Verse 21. After long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them saying, I'm sorry, we're going to verse 33. Sorry. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you, take nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair on your head will fall from any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all encouraged and took food themselves. And we were 276 persons on the ship. And when they had eaten up, they lighted the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. The Bible describes in this critical moment, Paul seeing this time, he tells the man, hey, look, you've got to eat. Now, this is interesting. He doesn't just give them words of encouragement. He actually starts checking on them. He realizes that they're malnourished. And he begins to say, hey, look, we've got to stop what we're doing. I know it's important, but we need to eat food. If we don't eat food, we're not going to get out of this. And so these sailors, these crewmen, these soldiers, everyone else on the voyage began to have right then and there a communion service. Paul takes that bread and before all, he begins to break that bread and he gives thanks to God. And can you imagine that? The people on the boat seeing the courage of Paul, seeing the fearlessness of Paul, seeing the faith of Paul. And they're thinking to themselves, why in the world, out of this entire voyage, out of everyone on this ship, this man still has peace and hope? And it's because he was acquainted with the Prince of Peace. He knew who his Savior was. And this is encouragement to every believer. And it's very important that we understand this point. Paul had hope of eternal life. He had hope of the future. He did not fear death. Now, fearlessness is not the same as stupidity. Amen? Fearlessness is not the same as stupidity. Paul was not stupid. Paul was wise. Paul was informed. Paul was aware. He was giving instructions that were needed for the time. But Paul was fearless throughout this whole situation. And as they saw the peace of God in his heart, they themselves gained courage. And they decided, we're going to stick this thing through it to the end. We're not going to give up. We believe we're going to survive. And this is encouragement for us. You see, as a church body, as a community, it's important for us to really check up on those who may be in need. Now, we may not be able to go visit them and be in their physical proximity, but I really appreciate what Pastor Ted said earlier about checking up on people. Because there are many people in many situations where they may not have the kind of support that you have. They may not even have a ride to get some groceries or some toilet paper for that matter. But it is our responsibility as believers, as Christians, as people part of the kingdom, to give people a call. rather than trying to do what those sailors did and jump off on that emergency boat to try to get away. No, we need to take the words and the example of Paul to heart. We need to love our brethren, and we need to take care of them during hard times. It is our responsibility as a church to check up upon those that may be in great need. So while you may be secure, although you may have your stockpile of food and toilet paper, don't forget to call somebody up and see how they're doing. Someone who may be vulnerable, someone who may be in need, someone who may not have a support system. Check up on them. Give them words of encouragement. Find out what they need. And maybe you need to go take a drive to the store carefully and drop off at their house what they need. God calls his people not to do what doomsday preppers do, kind of run off into a little bunker to try to save yourself during this time. No, he calls us to be wise. He calls us to be careful. He calls us to be informed. But he also calls us to have love. That's why Paul, when he laid out the formula for a time of crisis, he said this: God did not give us a spirit of fear. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of courage. No, no. He lays this out. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he lays out, but love, power, and the sound mind. Sound mind, being intelligent about what's taking place, being informed, being wise, being cautious. Love, caring for your brother and sister during time of crisis, and power, trust in a God who loves you, who's looking out for you, who is your captain, the true captain of the ship. The incredible part of this story is all the people on the ship survived. They all survived, and they got to an island. And it was incredible. Some other things took place. Some other miracles took place. The gospel was preached. But in a time of darkness, when the example was most needed, there was one man on that ship who knew God. Job says these beautiful words: acquaint yourself with him now. Who's him? That's God. Through Jesus. And he says, and you shall have peace. This is God's desire for you and for me during this time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much again for just that beautiful promise. Do not fear. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are the captain, the true captain of the ship. Thank you for being our guide. We give our lives to you. We pray for wisdom. Not just for ourselves, but for those that may be in our sphere of influence. Lord, if there's somebody that we can minister to by helping them out, by getting something, or just checking up on them, or giving them words of encouragement, Lord, give us those words. And God, please keep your people safe during this time. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church family.